And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hara, DetroitLions.com, talking Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown, and tell us, we have an added starter today.
I see you just buried the lead. Yes, we have an added starter today, a friend of ours from Lions Wire and Draft Wire. Jeff Resident is on the line with us. Hello, Jeff.
Guys, it is so good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I enjoy watching your stuff and reading your stuff, and very informative. So you're going to help us out today because me and Mike are pretty clueless on this draft right now.
Well, yeah, and Ken says information and all that, that's a cue for me to be quiet.
But before we get to the draft, we're going to go over a couple of things that happened recently. And Jeff, if you want to weigh in on it, it's fine. Mike, if you want to weigh in on it, it's fine. But O.J. Simpson passed away within the last few hours here as we are taping this podcast. And Mike, I don't want to get into the murder and the trial and everything else, but just on a football level, tell me something about O.J. and tell me what his legacy is as a football player.
Well, his legacy as a football player, as anything, has been obviously damaged by the murder and all of that and everything that went on with it before and after. And so I think we'll remember him more for that than we did for him as a football player. But he was a tremendous player, and he was, big at, 215, 18 pounds and fast. As a matter of fact, guys, the Detroit News used to sponsor the NCAA indoor track finals. And Detroit News, doing that, we all know they're covering a different thing. And one of my assignments was to cover O.J. Simpson in the 60-meter dash. And I'll tell you, when he took off, it was like a rocket. Now, he didn't win. He's going against, great sprinters and all that who trained for that. But he just took off like a rocket. I mean, it was really something to watch. And that's the way he ran on the field, too. It was one cut and gone.
Yeah. I remember, were you at the – of course, you were covering the team in the game where he broke the record. Was it 273 or 276?
No, I think it was Thanksgiving Day, as a matter of fact. And I was one of the only few guys working that day because didn't really need anybody. And I remember watching the game. And Buffalo was really getting – I mean, the game was out of reach, but they handed in the ball on just about every play in the last, 15, 18 minutes. And he didn't, cut him short. He ended up with a record, and it really was something to watch.
Jeff, I don't know how old you are or if you were around when the juice played or at least the trial part, but what are you have any memories or thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit younger, but I do remember him. I actually remember my first time of being aware of him was when he got traded to the 49ers, and I was a kid then, and I was like, oh wow, a star player can get moved like that, and it was shocking to me. But yeah, going back, I got to know Joe Delamalur, who was one of his blockers with the Bills later on when he played for the Cleveland Browns. I grew up in Cleveland, and he always just talked reverentially about how good O.J. was, about his vision and his acceleration. It's sad that it came to be what it was, because when you look at bigger running backs in the draft who move like him, and there's a couple of them this year, it's like, wow, they do remind you a little bit of the way that O.J. Simpson played, but you can't say that anymore.
No, you can't. No. Definitely can't.
Ken, I'd like to just add one other thing, too. I mean, he really was one of the good guys. He really was. He was easy to talk to and all that. In fact, I was just recalling, after I talked to you this morning, remember Kurt Sylvester, who was covering the Lions for the Free Press at the time, and I put in a bid to talk to him when he was in Detroit for a Monday night game. And you know what? He couldn't have been nicer, for 5 or 8 or 10 minutes, whatever it was, until he finally said, hey, guys, I got to save my voice for the game. And you could see his voice was starting to crinkle up a little bit. But he was just a guy, and a good guy.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's a tale of two running backs, a tale of two people, because the way it turned out, it was very tragic. One thing I will say before we go on to the next subject is 2,003 yards in 14 games, that still should be a record. 14 games getting 2,000, that's a lot of yards.
Well, it's similar, in a way, that's the same thing that Barry Sanders did. He had 53 yards in the first two games in 1997 and 2,000 in the last 14.
Yeah.
So they were kind of wedded together in a way.
Too bad those first two count, Mike, in the actual statistical.
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, let's get on to business. Before we get to the draft, I got one thing for each of you fellas you got to comment on, and this is the big story of yesterday or the day before.
Oh.
Jared Goff, on a podcast, I'm assuming from his house, I don't know, Jeff, if you saw this or not, where he talked about media. I'm going to play the cut here, and then you guys can comment on it. I'll say my thoughts to last.
I have this thing with our local media where, like, they almost, like, relish in negativity at times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells. But it's no longer what they need to live in. Like,
right.
Hey, guys, like, we have a good team. We've had success. Like, we can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how, like, we're constantly the underdog. Like, no, like, teams are going to be gunning for us now. Like, we won the division and all that. And I'm probably overthinking it in my head just because it's the chip on my shoulder and the competitor in me. But
I'll let you guys, Jeff, your thoughts immediately.
It was interesting to me because I think he's looking back a little bit too far on that. Honestly, most of the coverage that I see is pretty, like, we're in on this. Like, we're feeling great about it. There are some that, you know, I call them the professionally negative. This happened, by the way, when I covered the Browns and they started winning. It happened in Houston when I covered the Texans and they started winning. When you're not used to winning, it takes some people some time to get used to that. And I think the Goff has experienced the brunt of that. I will admit I was negative on Jared Goff when he first came here. He's proven me wrong, and I've changed my tune on that because he proved that I needed to change my tune. I think some folks are a little bit slower to get to that, but, you know, that's the way it is. And as far as negativity selling, I will just say this. Lions Wire is coming off a record six-month period, and we've been around since 2016. So people like winners, too.
Mike?
Well, you know, I'm not here to defend Jeff one way or the other because he doesn't need my defending, but I think you might just look back to the last home game, I think it was, when the fans were chanting Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared Goff. I think that sort of answers a lot of questions about where the fans in this area stand with him. The media, it's an entirely different thing because it's really a week-to-week trial in any sport, just about, especially if you haven't been winning in a long time. But the Lions have got two really good seasons behind their, you know, in their bag right now, and I think things will be different to a degree, but they're still going to analyze plays, analyze series, analyze games, analyze wins, you know, winning streaks and losing streaks and all that, and you'll never get around from that because they're in that. You know, they're in the history of a game, just like everything else is. But I think Jared has been treated very, very well here in Detroit. I mean, very, very well.
Yeah. I'm going to split the baby on this. For one, he may be right, because if you're talking talk radio-wise, they got to drive their listeners, and they got to fill a bunch of hours a day, and there are stations around that, yes. I heard stations a month ago saying Brad Holmes has done nothing. He's on the clock. This is a month ago. This is when free agency started. Okay, so I can understand him saying that. I thought the print media and whatever has been very fair to him. And I'm going to split the baby with – I think Jared's just a little sensitive at times. And I'm going to tell you what, one thing he did that showed me how sensitive he was. If you remember the Thursday night game or whatever game it was they played on Amazon, and after the game, Ryan Fitzpatrick was the commentator, and he said that Jared was a poor man's Matt Ryan. He didn't say it when Jared was there. But Jared came in after the game to do the interview, and he brought it up immediately, man. And you got to be a little thicker skin. So this town is not a bad town media-wise. You don't get persecuted. But, you know, this comes with the territory. When you play the game, it comes with the territory. You just got to have a thicker skin. I think he needs to thicken up just a little bit on that.
Yeah, I agree with you on one thing that you said, Kenny, and that is I think it comes more from the radio guys than it does from especially from the beat guys, but and the writers.
But there's always Carlos.
Yeah.
There's always Carlos, but you know, we accept that. There's always, you know, we accept that.
Leave Carlos alone.
That's my friend, man, but you know, there's always Carlos. And Jeff knows, he sat next to him enough times too in those pressers.
Yes, sir, I have. Yep, I know that's, and they're like, I will say, there is a need to have somebody who's, you know, a counterpoint person, but when that's all you got, you might want to find a better shtick.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, let's get into the draft, fellas. This is what we're here for. I'm going to talk to Jeff in a little while because Jeff has – I saw a thing he did the other day, five players to stay away from, and I one of them, I'm with you. I think we talked about this, Mike, in our last podcast. But let's talk about the general draft order right now. It looks like these quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3, and maybe 4. Mike, are they quarterbacks always get overdrafted, but this helps the Lions in an extent that that's four players that push the rest of the players down in a draft. And I don't think there's a great up top draft. I don't even know if it's deep. I keep hearing different things from different people. But, Mike, having quarterbacks go off up top, doesn't that help the Lions in their extent? Because they don't really need a certain position right now. They just need players.
Well, they'll need a quarterback if they trade away one of the ones you want to get rid of. But anyway, I'm just kidding here.
We'll talk about that in a little while.
Thank you. But, you know, listen, if you go 1 through 6 in this draft, you'll see basically everybody's got four quarterbacks being drafted in the top 6. And then you might get into another one at 13 or 14 or something like that, which would be 5 out of 15, you know, 1/3 of the draft would be off the board in the first five picks, whatever. So I think that's good for the Detroit Lions. Every single right tackle, because you got Penny Sewell that goes off the board, helps the Detroit Lions. Every single quarterback who goes off the board helps the Detroit Lions because they're not looking for one. And you might even say the same thing about running backs, except I don't see any in the first round anyway.
Yeah. And, Jeff, I know you were down at the Senior Bowl and you got firsthand talking and looking at these guys. Draft class-wise, on your opinion, is it a deep class or is it a top-heavy class? How does it rate? And then what do you think about the way the quarterbacks are going to go off?
Yeah, it's funny. This year, like, there are some spots, offensive line, it's a great unit. You need an offensive lineman. It's a great unit. You need a wide receiver. Not so good if you need a tight end, unless you're getting Brock Bowers. Really not good if you're looking for quarterbacks after the first round. Not that the Lions are doing that, but, you know, the depth on that is pretty poor. So, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. Running backs, I think there's a lot of good ones, but they're all, like the Lions have the timeshare with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. And I think there's a lot of guys that are in this draft that can be part of a good timeshare like that, but nobody that's going to go out and you know, rush for 1,800 yards or anything like that. And I don't think we'll see any of them picked. We might not even see any of them picked until the third round on Friday night down in Detroit. So, it's an interesting one. It's a lot of mixing and matching of what you need. It's not a great safety draft, and I do think that the Lions need some help there. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to find, like, immediate starting help there, but, you know, they might be looking there. Yeah, so overall, you know, I think it's a pretty good class, but, again, specific needs, and fortunately, most of the specific needs that are good are ones that the Detroit Lions happen to have and need some help at. So in that way, it's probably better for Detroit than it is for some other teams.
Yeah. I am convinced that – well, I shouldn't say convinced. I think that they're not going to draft at 29. I just got a feeling they're either moving up or they're moving down. 29 is such a weird place to be because you're close to the end of the round where teams in the second round might want to move up for your pick. You're far enough away that a player drops into the 20s. You might want to go get him. And Brad Holmes, he never – is satisfied where he's at. Even when you watch those videos from last year's draft, he's always thinking about moving. So I would not be surprised if he moves during his draft, Mike.
No, it wouldn't surprise me either. Just look what he did last year. You know, and that's and I think, you know, I'm sure most other teams do the same thing, if not all the teams. But I think they're all go into the draft at 8 o'clock on Thursday evening, ready to make a deal with somebody. In other words, they probably. Somebody who's you know, got like the 15th pick or something like that, and the Lions are ready to go with, give them 29 and a second round pick if this happens, so they can take a particular player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think Brad Holmes is always looking to move. Doesn't mean he will, but he's always looking to.
Yeah, and I that's why. Well, we're gonna talk about that in a little while. That giving up that third round pick for the Tampa Bay cornerback. The more I think about it, that's a lot for a guy that you didn't sign past this year. But you know, that was kind of the chip you had to move around with if you wanted to do a lot of maneuvering. You had that extra pick. Now you don't. But we'll see how it works out. Hey Jeff, I just want to ask you now. When we come down to pick, just say they stay around 29 or whatever. Lions don't have a starting need on any position now. They got everything covered. But, you know, it's time to add. What is your order of positions you would look at when that 29th pick comes?
Oh, man, that's tough because it sort of depends on which players are there. I would love an offensive lineman. I would be happy with a cornerback. I would be happy with a wide receiver. If it's the right wide receiver, it's got to be the right cornerback. It's got to be the right offensive lineman. Those are the position groups I'm looking at. I don't think there's a pass rusher that belongs in that range that can help Detroit, quite frankly. I know a lot of fans are, you know, a little antsy about the pass rush, but there's not anybody that's going to be available at 29 that's going to beat out anybody that's on the roster right now for a starting spot. And if I want that, look, I'm glad you said that, Ken, because I don't think there's any available starting spots. Now, if somebody that they draft like winds up beating out somebody, that's great, but they don't have to have that happen. And that's a very different change for those of us who've been covering the draft and covering the Lions for a long time. The first round pick might not be starting. That's a little odd, and that's something that we're all going to have to get used to. But yeah, you got to look at 2025. Where are the needs going to be? Well, they certainly will need offensive line help. They need that now. They only have two tackles on the roster, so they got to get something there. Cornerback. Every team always needs cornerbacks every year. That's a pretty timeless value. Defensive line, maybe, but depends on what they do with Holy McNeil and what happens with some other contracts. So. It's tough this year, but if I'm Brad Holmes, I'm looking real heavy at that offensive line class because this is a great year to need it. You can draft multiple ones. You can draft a tackle and an interior guy, and I don't think many fans would be too upset about that.
Yeah. Mike, are you specific to one position or just go out by the board?
Really. Yeah, just one thing, and just reacting to what Jeff said about the offensive line. To me, I'm surprised how many interior offensive linemen are rated first-round prospects. I don't think you see that quite often. It's usually tackles, then they move them inside if they're, you know, to fit a certain scheme or whatever. But I think that bodes well for the Lions that you can get an interior lineman, or at least a player with interior lineman ability in the first round.
Now I'm going to be the eyeball since you two are the ones that really use common sense. I'm going to do the uncommon sense. I think I'll take a receiver if he's there. I'm always a fan of anything that can score touchdowns for you or take them off the board, get it. And I think it's a deep wide receiver draft, and one of those top ones might fall to 29, and I wouldn't be upset if they took one. Like you said, offensive lineman, I can get one in the second round, the third round. They don't have a fourth rounder, but I can get them down the line. Cornerbacks, like you said, you can get cornerbacks in the second and third round too. But if it's a top receiver there, I think I'd jump at one.
Well, I wouldn't. You know, look, I'm not going to give away my first-round projected pick, but I cannot disagree with you about the wide receiver. I guess that's a pretty big hint.
Hey, Jeff.
Mike's about to tell us something, isn't he?
You did it, huh? You got it?
is there Jeff, a receiver, if one did fall, that like they need an ex-receiver? Is there a guy, yeah, one of the guys that kind of fit what the Lions do more than another one that could be there? I know the Marvin Harrison Jr., everybody would want him, but just anybody in that range like Keon Coleman or whoever.
The guy that I really like is Brian Thomas from LSU. Led the nation in touchdowns last year. That's a guy that got better from the first week that you watched him when LSU played till the end of the season. He got better at route running. He got better at contested catches. He's a bit of a rising star. I like him a lot. I don't know if he'll be there or not. If he is, I would not be upset one bit if they took Brian Thomas. You know, I'm a big Xavier Leggett fan. I know that makes me a bit of an oddball, but I like what he does. I think he's – that's early for the first round, though. That's one of those where, like, we talked about the trading idea. Washington has 36 and 40, and they might very well want to come up. And those two picks would get you 29, I would think. I might have to send them back something next year, right, lower in the draft. But that's where, like, if you can get Xavier Leggett at that range, that's the type of thing that I would love. You know, Keon Coleman, he's tough, man. It's hard to evaluate him because there are times, like, go back to last September, his first few games at Florida State. It's like, oh, my God, you know, why didn't this happen at Michigan State? Well, we know why that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, where was this dude? And then he kind of went back to being second fiddle to Johnny Wilson and, you know, didn't necessarily put up a lot of numbers or play as well. And I don't know what to do with that, quite frankly. Like, he's good. I certainly see the merits in it, but I also am like, I'm a little – like, there's a lot of guys – Ladd McConkey's really good. a little bit deeper. I love Luke McCaffrey. I got to talk to him down at the Senior Bowl, and there's a guy that I would love to have on my team as a backup receiver who can also return kicks with the new kick format. I think he'd be phenomenal in that capacity. You can even run him as a quarterback. He played quarterback at Stanford and Nebraska before he went down to Rice. Like, there's a lot to like with him. You know, it's a great year to need a wide receiver, too. So I wouldn't hate it at the first one, but it's got to be the right one. And, you know, there's guys that I don't like as much as some other people, but, you know, focus on the dudes that we like because that's what we want, right?
That's exactly right. I like that Washington fade. I'm looking at those picks. I like that, Mike.
Hey, Ken, I don't want to give away the secret, but what about Adonai Mitchell of Texas? I mean, 6'2", 205 pounds, ran a 3.45 40, scored 11 touchdowns on 15 catches in his junior farewell season. I like him. I like the toughness he's shown. I think he'd be a good fit for the Lions at 29.
Ah, there you go. All right, now, Mike already knows what I'm about to say, Jeff. I'm springing this on you. These are my two crazy things, and Mike thinks I'm crazy. I just want to see what you think about this. Number one, if you plan on signing Jared Goff to a 3-year extension, you know, 2 years, whatever, added on to this next year, I think you can put Hendon Hooker on the block and see what you can get for him and maybe add him to that 29 and move up. Because if you can sign in Goff, he's 26 now, Hendon Hooker. He'll be 28, 29 before you even get him on the field. So if he's available for trade, and I was talking to one of the scouts last week that said he would be highly rated if he was in this draft and healthy. That's one thing to look at. And my second thing, Jeff, I want you to comment on, I think Jameson Williams should be on the block. I like him if you keep him, but I don't think him and Goff are compatible as players. And I just think you might be able to get something for him while he has value and add another receiver. And you really wouldn't miss much. Because he really didn't contribute a lot. He contributed some. He didn't contribute a lot to last year's offense, and you still had a good offense. What do you think about those two crazy thoughts here?
Well, I'll tell you, I was not expecting those thoughts, so they are a surprise to me. So I'll go to the JMO one first, because I do think you're a little crazy on that one. I like what JMO offers. I think the team sees him as being a rising star. When we talked to both Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes at the Combine, you know, they both brought up that Jameson Williams is expected to be the number two wide receiver. And they didn't say it that way, but they said it in so many words. And they expect him with the whole offseason, with no injuries, with no gambling crap going on around him, that he's going to make a big step. And I agree with him. I think he's got the capability to work more of the field than he has. And he and Jared Goff, you know, you're not wrong that they're not necessarily simpatico in the way that they operate, but I'm going to give them a chance to prove that that they can make it work with a full off season and, you know, no weird stuff going on with JMO. So I want to keep him because the other thing is they're thin at wide receiver already. We just talked about the need to get a wide receiver. I'm not dealing away an asset at a thin position. Because all you're going to do is you're going to try to fill that with what you're trading away for. You know, if you trade JMO away and you get the, you know, you want to move up to 22 to take a receiver, well, you still got to fill that spot that JMO was there. So I don't like that one.
All right.
The other one, the first one, that's a tough one because Hooker, I'm a big Hooker guy. I liked him. I was on the record. I would have taken him at 18 last year and been happy. The fact that they got him much later because of the injury and because of the age was, well, like, my goodness, that was glorious for me. I loved it. And he would be, just looking at my grades here, and I'm taking a peek at it, he would have been my number five quarterback in this draft. I would have him graded slightly ahead of where Michael Penix is. So, yeah, if there's a market for him, that's an interesting one. The only thing is we went through this last year with when Nate Sudfeld went out there and then – guys, you were with me when we watched it in training camp. He wasn't good.
No.
And that led to why they scrambled to get Teddy Bridgewater in, because Hennon obviously wasn't ready yet. I want to have some modicum of confidence in my backup, and no offense to Nate Sudfeld, but I don't have confidence in Nate Sudfeld to step in and handle the reins for even more than a drive if Jared Goff happens to get hurt. So I like the insurance policy of Hendon Hooker, but if somebody – let's say the Raiders, who I know liked him in the draft last year. Let's say they missed out on their quarterback and they want to give you something for it. If it's a good offer, you got to consider it. But, man, I like Hendon, man. I'm going to keep him.
All right. I like him, too. I'm just saying, if you just hold him to be a backup at, you know, for the next 3 years, and you're not going to get him in the lineup, and somebody's offering you, like you said, good compensation, you got to think about it. That's all. But I agree with you.
Yeah, you definitely have to think about it. I don't think you're wrong there at all. But I wonder how much it would take to sway Brad Holmes to pull that trigger. And I don't know where that line would be at, but I would imagine it would be probably be pretty high.
Yeah, it'd be more than what I got him for. I'm not talking a third-round pick for him either. I'm talking about actual compensation. Yeah. And that's what Mike, you can get off the floor now. Mike is unconscious over there, people. Nothing.
Kenny, I will say this: your idea does have some merit. It really does. But the reason you have him for security is because what he offers, if he does in fact have to play, and I wouldn't want to start over with another guy try to do the same thing, try to replicate what you've already done.
I agree. I'm just putting little things out there, you know, just to keep it going. All right. So, one last thing before we go. Jeff had a piece, and you guys can check it out on YouTube, about five prospects he would stay away from. And it's one prospect, Mike, that I agree with him, and I don't want to talk about all five. I just got to talk about this guy, and I hear his name a lot in Detroit media, Chop Robinson. And I'm like, I stay away from that guy. I mean, he's got all the physical attributes, and he gets like three sacks last year. I mean, I just don't think that the combine performance rates – the actual game tape performance. And I don't know, Jeff, if you agree with that or not, but that's one. He's on my do not fly list.
Yeah, I'm not a Chop guy. And I've actually had the fortune to see him in person. And when he plays against good blocking, he doesn't have a plan. And that's one of the things that I alluded to in the video that I shot. He's really, really athletic, but I'm not sure that he's that good of a football player. You know, he doesn't have a plan with how to use his hands. He only has speed to work with. And I'm not sure that he can get coached up all that much at that. Penn State's done a pretty good job over the years of developing some defensive line talent. Now, it happens that the primary guy for that wound up being in Detroit last year and didn't work. So, you know, you gotta consider that with John Scott not being there. But, you know, watch the Ohio State tape. Watch the Michigan tape. Heck, watch the Indiana tape. Like, he didn't do much. Two of his sacks last year, by the way, came against backup right tackles at the college level. One of them was a true freshman who was making his very first appearance. The guy's great at creating pressure. He can't finish.
Yeah.
Isn't that what people scream about Eden Hutchinson? Like, dude, finish more. Right. I know we all take that all the time. We hear that a lot. By the way, I think that's wrong. I think Aiden's a very good finisher, but fans who don't like that Aiden Hutchinson doesn't finish, they're really going to be angry at Chuck Robinson because that guy, he doesn't finish. And the other thing that I brought up in that, mobile quarterbacks. What's the worst thing you can do to a mobile quarterback? Pressure him and not finish.
That's right.
That is death to your defense, your secondary. They cannot win that way. We need to help our secondary. Getting pressures without getting sacks against a guy like Jordan Love, like Caleb Williams, who we're going to have to face twice a year in Chicago. Jalen Hurts, if you get to him in the playoffs. Dak Prescott, if you get him in the playoffs. You cannot get pressure and not finish. And so I'm out on him. I'm just out on him, like, in general as a prospect anyway, not specific to Detroit. I understand that he's incredibly athletic. I also understand that he needs to do a lot of things a lot better to work at the NFL. And I'm just not in on that.
I agree. Mike O'Hara.
Kenny, that sort of reminds me, I think we've talked about this before, of Trayvon Walker, who Jacksonville, you know, bypassed Hutchinson to draft in. And, you know, great athlete, all that, all the measurables, but no production or limited production. I just kind of always wondered about that, looking back at him the last 2 years. What did they see? Because I just don't see the production there.
Yeah, well, he even has more production than Chop, though.
Oh, no,
I agree with you. Yeah,
he's
got
a washout. I'm not saying that, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up today. Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on with us today, giving us a little insight for our listeners for the upcoming NBA, NFL draft. I was downtown to make the dome is almost finished now. I mean, it's amazing in like in a week how much has been put on, but it's going to be exciting down there. Jeff, I don't know where you're going to be at draft. Are you staying up there? Or are you coming down this way?
I will be down in Detroit. I will be covering it. I'll be in the media row area where we get to interview with players as they come off the stage. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's my favorite time of year. Mike probably knows this about me. Day three of the draft is my absolute favorite day of the year. My family knows not to mess with me on that day. I just love seeing all these prospects that a lot of other people don't know all that much about, but I've studied a lot and seeing them get their things. It's great. And there's very few ways that the Detroit Lions can screw this draft up. Not that I would think that Brad Holmes would, but I'm feeling really good about where this team's at going into this draft too. It's going to be a lot of fun down there in Detroit.
I agree. And check out Jeff's things at the Lions Wire and Draft Wire, and go on YouTube and check them out. He's got a lot of great product on there. Mike O'Hare, you know, is at DetroitLions.com. Mike is covering the draft. We'll be doing a podcast up to the draft, have some guests every week. Mike, any final thoughts before we leave? Mike O'Hare.
No, I'm just going to tell it. Hang on for Ken's next big idea. It's always fascinating.
Yeah, that Trey Penny Sewell thing is not coming next week, if that's what you expected, Mike. I'm sorry, that was not coming.
I had a hard time getting that one out.
Yeah, I bet you did. All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today. Mike O'Hare, we'll talk to you next week on the K&M podcast.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, guys.